This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. Lisa Fisher is one of the most in-demand vocalists in the music industry, but she rarely takes center stage. In fact, she's made an entire career out of singing backup vocals. Oh, my love. That's Lisa Fisher on stage with Luther Vandross, and she's also sung with artists like Mick Jagger, Dolly Parton, and Nine Inch Nails. She won a Grammy in the early 90s for the single How Can I Ease the Pain, but she still chose not to pursue a solo career. She prefers to harmonize and play the supporting role. Well, Lisa Fisher is one of the artists featured in the 2014 Oscar-winning documentary 20 Feet from Stardom. It spotlights female backup singers. She's going to be performing in Raleigh this weekend at a screening of the film at the North Carolina Museum of Art. And first, she joins us on our show. Lisa Fisher, what a pleasure. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Frank. Thanks for having me.
Tell us how your singing career began.
Wow. I was working with a lady named Dee Dee Kennebrew from the Crystals, and we met because I was combing the papers in New York City. There used to be this magazine newspaper called Backstage and Showtime. And me and my friends would comb through the ads and audition for different things. And I was lucky enough to read Dee Dee's ad. And prior to that, I'd been, at Queens College, and I was, I thought I'd be an opera singer and just all this madness.
That was the beginning of your professional career, but I understand perhaps your love of singing began in kindergarten?
Oh, right! My mom took me to kindergarten. We're walking down the street in Brooklyn, and I'm looking on the ground, and I see this piece of paper, and I look at it, and in my child mind, I thought, oh, this is music, whatever signs and symbols I see on the paper. So I go to the teacher and I say, I wrote a song for the class. Can I sing it for the class? She let me. And to the point of ad nauseum, because then she had to stop me. but the feeling that I got from it, the joy that I got from it, I'm sure I sounded awful, but I in that moment, I think I knew that's what I always wanted to do.
I just think it's amazing that you looked at a piece of paper and your first thought was, this must be music, not mm-hmm. a treasure map, right? I mean, so that tells you something about where your mind went. Hey, did you listen to a lot of music? Did your family listen to a lot of music?
Yes, my mom and dad, they were young parents, so they listened to a lot of Motown. And they, as I got older, they gave me their little 45s and the little clip discs in yellow and red that, you could use to put on the turntable. So, I was in heaven.
You just said that you were at one point thinking about becoming an opera singer, which suggests to me that at one point you did consider singing in the spotlight. Is that true? And then tell us about your first backup gig. But let me back up. I'll ask the first question first. Were you thinking about being a soloist?
I just was thinking of singing. I never thought about the solo aspect of it because that feels lonely to me. Mm. And I just wanted to be able to sing and share and sing with, or sing for. And so, going to Queens College for me felt like a natural progression from leaving music and art high school. And I just loved the feeling of singing with other people. That, to me, was the best part of it, So the choir and music and art in the choir in Queens College was something I really enjoyed. And I liked, doing a step out and doing little things here and there, but I wasn't like the girl in church that would, climb up and do a solo. I really liked singing in the background in church. That was fun to me.
Well, you've said that working with Luther Vandross was really your first big break. Tell us about singing with him.
Excuse me. I was working with the Crystals, and that led to working with the Marvelettes. And a gentleman that worked for the Marvelettes also worked for Luther and asked if I would audition. So I go down to the audition, and Luther's sitting behind a piano, and And there's a little takeout container of chicken on the piano, and so he's snacking, and I walk in, and he's asking me to do all these things, vocally, and I found him intriguing. I found him warm. I found him just so interesting. It was so different than what I had experienced prior. You know, I hadn't really had any contact with a lot of artists before that. Current recording artist, you know.
Right.
And he was just so gentle and so sweet. And he really helped me. He helped form my ideas about presentation and just doing your best and being on time and just to be the best you that you can be.
Well, I want to hear a clip of the two of you singing together on his album, Your Secret Love.
And it keeps us safely from anything outside that could hurt us. We look out from inside our world, and depending on what we see, we just hold each other tight.
Lisa Fisher with Luther Vandross singing Your Secret Love on Luther Vandross' album, Whether or Not the World Gets Better, I think is the name of the song. Tell us about the difference between, because you said he was warm, he worked with you, he asked you to do certain things. I can imagine that you could work with artists who really want you simply in the background and are treating you as though you aren't there. Am I right about that? I mean, is that what happens sometimes?
You know, I've not really felt that energy. I guess because I'm not looking for it. You know, it's like when I come into a job, I'm sort of like a blank slate, and I'm waiting for the artist to pour their colors on me of what it is that they need. And so if they only need me to do some background, and I say only, not in the sense of like it's a minute thing, but if that's the task, it's a huge task to me. It's being someone's blanket. It's being someone's touchstone. It's being there if they need you and when they need you, you know. And you don't want to be a distraction to the artist or to the audience. You want to sort of weave yourself in the music and just be, you know, part of the threads that make the fabric beautiful, you know.
How do you do that? You talked about them waiting for them to pour their colors on you. Is that something you hear? Do you begin to feel it in other ways? Where does that strike you?
It usually is the song. You know, it's the song that sort of dictates what that will be. And then the artist interprets what that looks like to them. It's almost as though I have no sight, or if I'm in a room that's dark and the artist is sort of my eyes. And so they're sort of telling me what the colors are, what they feel like, what the meanings are, what the breath should be like, what the feeling and the purpose should be like. And they, you know, it's a very deep thing for them, you know, because it's their life, you know, it's their spirit that's going into the work. And so for them to be open and to share that with you, and it feels like you should respect that and not try to go beyond the scope of what's needed.
For someone who is so sensitive to that in others, in the people you're collaborating with, it maybe is a bit of a surprise that you won a Grammy for your single, How Can I Ease the Pain? Not because you lack talent. Goodness knows, we're about to hear examples of that if we haven't already. But what made you decide that it was time to come up with your own record?
You know, Luther had mostly everything to do with that, because we were on tour, and I had been, you know, a session singer on my off time if there was a session to be had. And sometimes they'll ask you, instead of doing background, they'll say, well, can you do lead for a demo, a demonstration, or, you know, we're thinking about putting together a group concept or whatever. So I would come and I would share with him what I did in the studio that particular day, because I was still learning my voice and figuring out what to do, what not to do, what my expression was, who I was. And so to be able to share that with him was just like going to school, you know. And I guess through that, he was saying, you know, you could have a record deal. You could do this, you know. And so he introduced me to Daniel Marcus, who was his manager at the time. And Danny was able to get me a deal at Elektra Records, and Bob Krasno signed me. I was really, really lucky.
Well, you were.
It wasn't a normal thing, you know.
Can I ask you to sing something for us now?
Sure. Let me get it together. Okay. I have traveled many moonless nights, cold and weary, with your love inside, and I wonder what I've done. Holy Father, you have come and chosen me now to carry your love. I am waiting in a silent prayer. I am troubled by the load I bear. In a world as cold as stone, must I walk this path alone? Be me now, be with me now, breath of heaven, hold me together, be forever near me, breath of heaven. Breath of heaven, lighten my darkness, pour over me your holiness, for you are holy. Breath of heaven. Breath of heaven, breath of heaven.
Lisa Fisher will be performing live at the Raleigh Museum of Art this Saturday with a screening of the film in which she was featured, 20 Feet from Stardom. She is live with me now on The State of Things. What a beautiful song. There's such a deep spiritual quality to your singing, if I may. Do you feel that? Do you feel a kind of a spirituality? Are you in, when you sing, do you bring that to your music?
I bring, I think, everything that I am as far as energy is concerned, and spirituality is energy to me. It is. It's everything we as human beings imagine it to be, however we paint it or explain it or don't explain it or believe or don't believe or the names we use. It's the thing that we can't grasp. It's almost like trying to grab the air, and you know it's there because you're breathing it, but you can't necessarily put your finger on it, you know. It's just you believe the air is there, and so you breathe and you continue to breathe. That's what the spiritual part of it feels like to me. And it's the thing that, you know, you try to figure out, how does my heart keep beating every day? How does that happen? You know, it's those beautiful unanswered waters, you know. And so just all those things that don't need words live in the melody for me. You know, the words tend to help express an idea if there's something in particular you want. But, you know, it's the difference between, like, when my mom used to call me for dinner versus when my mom used to call me, you know, for whipping. you feel the energy.
There's something a little different about that. I have just a couple seconds left. I want to know if this means you're, because you backed away from a solo career even after that Grammy. We're going to be treated to your voice at the North Carolina Museum of Art soon. Are you thinking about getting back into records?
You know, in my mind, it's a difference between records and recording. I think I do want to record again and just go through that journey. But the way I think about, you know, records, it carries a weight for me I can explain it. It's business. It feels more like business as opposed to just a sharing. You know, I would really like to just to share the music.
Well, the good news is we can share that music and hear you live at the North Carolina Museum of Art this Saturday, along with a screening of 20 Feet from Stardom. Lisa Fisher, thank you so much for being on our program.
Thank you, Frank. You're an angel. Thank you.
You can find out more about Lisa Fisher, her appearance, and everything we talk about at our website, stateofthings.org, a program produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, and Will Michaels. Charlie Shelton's our intern, Robin Copley is our technical director, Brent Wolf is our news director, and North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.